You're listening to SBS On The Money with Ricardo Gonçalves.
Hi everyone, it is your daily 10-minute business and finance news wrap for this Tuesday, the 17th of December 2024. The Australian share market rose today. We'll have the details with Robert Tilewski from Activam, plus a look at the new ABC Managing Director. But first, hundreds of thousands of Australian Facebook users could have a claim in a $50 million settlement. It relates to a privacy breach over that massive Cambridge Analytica scandal of about 10 years ago, where the private details of millions of Facebook users around the world were used mainly for political advertising. So as part of an agreement with the Australian Information Commissioner, Facebook owner Meta will make available $50 million in penalty payments to Australian users. Now, that's the largest ever payment dedicated to addressing concerns about the privacy of individuals in Australia. The scheme will be open to people who held a Facebook account between the 2nd of November 2013 and the 17th of December 2015, were present in Australia for more than 30 days during that period, and either installed the This Is Your Digital Life app or were Facebook friends with someone who installed the app. The commissioner alleges personal information of some users were disclosed to that app in breach of the Privacy Act. So to explain all that and why this is such a landmark case and decision, I spoke with the Privacy Commissioner, Carly Kind. So Carly, for those of us that can't remember, just how big was the Cambridge Analytica scandal and how many people were affected? Because this was actually worldwide, wasn't it?
It was worldwide. So what happened is a third-party app called This Is Your Digital Life was installing itself on user devices with their knowledge and then harvesting their data from Facebook. And they this app ended up on about 300,000 people's phones. But the trick was that they were not only harvesting the Facebook data of the people who downloaded the app, they were also harvesting the Facebook data from their friends. And so that means the number of people on whom data was exfiltrated from Facebook was, we think, around 50 million Facebook users. So it was a pretty big incident, affected a lot of people. For Australians, the number of Australians affected is a much smaller subsection. We think that about 50 Australians downloaded the app and about 300,000 Australians who were friends of those 50 Australians had their data impacted by this incident.
Right, so it's just a very small number of Aussies that actually downloaded. You said 50, is that right?
That's the evidence we were able to uncover during our investigation, that it could be higher than that, but we think about 50 people directly affected and about 300,000 people who will be eligible for payment under this new scheme.
How was that data used and what did it mean for those Facebook users?
So we know that the data was originally harvested as part of a personality quiz, but then it later was sold on to the political consultancy Cambridge Analytica, which was seeking to develop personality profiles of voters leading up to the 2016 American election. It's a bit unclear to us the extent to which Australians' personal information was specifically of interest to Cambridge Analytica, so it may not have been specifically targeting Australians, but we think it was captured in this whole process of developing personality profiles for political targeting. And so, I mean, from a privacy perspective, our concerns are that, first of all, people lost control of their personal information, particularly those who were just friends of somebody who downloaded the app. They had no knowledge, let alone control, that their personal data was being disclosed in that way. And secondly, that data was being used in potentially nefarious but certainly unclear ways that weren't really within the reasonable expectations of Facebook users at the time. That is for political targeting and campaigning purposes.
Facebook parent Meta has agreed to pay $50 million to those Australian users affected through a payment scheme. How did that come about?
So we brought proceedings against Meta in 2020, alleging violations of the Privacy Act because of this disclosure of data to a third party and then on to Cambridge Analytica. And Facebook and now Meta obviously contested those proceedings. In some cases, they contested the jurisdiction of the Privacy Act right up to the High Court. and we were successful in defending that. It's been a long legal proceeding. And today we settled those proceedings out of court, meaning we discontinued our original litigation because we'd come to an agreement with Meta that they would establish a payment program to deliver $50 million in payments to Australians affected by the incident.
And how do you know if you are affected or can lay a claim in this share?
So many Australians will already know if they were affected by the original incident, but the settlement agreement sets up a process whereby Facebook will notify users if they may be eligible for this payment program. And then people have to register as an eligible user. And then they have to make a claim as to whether they fall into one of two classes. One class is people who experience specific loss or damage as a result of the incident. And the other class is for people who are generally upset or embarrassed by the disclosure of their personal information. If you fall into the first class, you have to provide some evidence as to why you meet that threshold, but you don't have to provide any evidence as to loss or damage or in order to qualify for compensation under the second class.
So if you said around 300,000, do we have an idea what the average affected user will be entitled to?
So the people in the first class who can evidence that they experience specific loss or damage, they'll get first dibs, as it were, on the payment, and that payment amount will be determined by an independent administrator, so not by Meta and not by the regulator, but by an independent administrator. And whatever's left over will then be distributed amongst the class two claimants. And then if all of those payments have been made and there's still money left over, that will go into consolidated revenue, which is essentially back to the government and for use elsewhere across the government.
So in wrapping up, just how significant is this deal and what does it say about the way tech companies need to consider privacy? Because Meta saying in a statement that these processes, they basically don't exist anymore. They've improved their processes.
Absolutely. I mean, this is an aged matter. It took place back in 2013-14. And because of the regulatory action that was taken both here in Australia but by many regulators around the world, Meta changed many of their processes pretty quickly after this incident came to light. Nevertheless, this is a really important decision because, first of all, it establishes that tech companies are subject to Australian privacy law. And this is the first really big outcome of an investigation or litigation which really establishes that jurisdiction over big tech platforms. But also, it's the first time we've had a major payment for Australians that relates to the protection of their individual personal privacy. So it establishes a really important precedent that Australians' privacy will be protected and that we can ensure that we enable people to be compensated for loss or damage or, you know, harmful outcomes that come through invasions of privacy.
That is the Privacy Commissioner there, Carly Kind. Should also mention that Meta says that it settled on a no admission basis, adding the allegations related to past practices no longer are relevant to how its products or systems work today. Let's go to our other story of the day. And a former commercial television and media CEO is set to become the new boss of the ABC. Hugh Marks, who led Nine Entertainment for 5 years until 2021 and oversaw the merger of Nine and Fairfax Media, will replace David Anderson as managing director. For more, I spoke with media commentator James Manning. James, what kind of skills do you think Hugh Marks will bring to the ABC?
Look, on paper, he looks like the perfect candidate. You know, he's got a background. The biggest thing plus is the merging of the Nine and the Fairfax businesses, you know, which was a pretty big deal. I remember interviewing him across those years where he digitized the business, basically, the newspapers, the television business, you know, TV launched Nine Now, very much an on-demand product. The newspapers went from, you know, being basically a print product into sort of finding a way to reach an audience and monetize a big online readership. And his TV background before that, of course, started as a legal counsel at Nine. So he's got a good legal background. He's worked in a production. He ran Southern Star, most recently in his own production company, Dream Chaser. So he's got good rounded skills.
I've had a
What do you think will be his biggest challenges?
Well, going from a company owned by the shareholders to a company really owned by the taxpayers, the public, you know, as we've seen recently at ABC Radio, if you do things that potentially upset the audience, they can react badly, and we're yet to see how that might play out. But, you know, you've really got to engage with that audience and listen to what they want, a lot more so than I think you do at a commercial company.
What about company culture? Coming from Nine, which has had its own well-documented workplace culture issues, is he the right person for the job to take the ABC forward? Kim Williams said today in the release that Mr. Marx is the right person to lead the organisation as it plans for renewal and investment.
Yeah, look, when you talk about culture, look, I guess Hugh's not alone. A lot of media companies had bad culture over the last couple of decades. He was asked about that today in a couple of interviews, and he said, look, he didn't know what was going on at the time. And is that an excuse? I mean, maybe he should have been closer to the workforce to know what was going on there. But it's an issue that's plagued a lot of industries, not just media. So, you know, hopefully that's something that is starting to be repaired at virtually all big organisations.
That is media commentator James Manning there.
Now, Market Day on the SBS On The Money podcast.
After five sessions of losses, the Australian share market rose today, up 0.8% on the S&P ASX 200, 8,314. For more, just before the close, I spoke with Robert Telewski from Activam Group.
We saw gains across the industrials, healthcare and communications. The energy sectors, like your Woodside Petroleum, that was down 1.4%. along with the miners offsetting the gains. The Australian dollar stabilised. It's up to sort of 63.7 US cents after drifting off its recent lows. Overnight, the US shares were up. The S&P 500 was up 0.5%, and the NASDAQ was up 1.3%. Tesla was up 6%, having almost doubled since early November. Tech stocks, Alphabet and Amazon, were also up 4% and 2% respectively. We received some interesting data coming out of the US last night, PMI data in the US overnight. Activity in the US service providers is expanding. It's been the fastest since in the last sort of 3 years, you know, providing momentum for the economy, even though as a downturn in manufacturing worsens.
This time of year, we normally talk about a Santa rally, right? But as I mentioned before, the market's been down for about 5 days in a row. So given we've seen a recovery today, is this the start of the so-called Santa rally?
Yeah, so the Santa rally essentially refers to the tendency of markets to rise in the final weeks of December into early January. Over the last 50 years, markets have posted gains during this period. Roughly 70 to 75% of the time, markets are up around 1.5% on average, making this a sort of a positive season for equities. A combination of cooling inflation, potential interest rate cuts into next year, and a solid, I guess, solid economic indicators provide support for equities during this period. Also, fund managers tend to rebalance portfolios before the end of the year, which can also drive markets higher. Keep an eye out on upcoming economic data releases, retail sales number of, and the numbers of, I guess, central bank comments that will come out after tomorrow, as these may confirm or disrupt this trend.
Okay, you mentioned central banks. The US Federal Reserve meets to discuss interest rates. What's the market expecting, and what are the implications for investors?
Yeah, so investors' focus now will pivot to the Fed's interest rate decision tomorrow. We expect to see the Fed cut rates by 0.25%. We don't expect to see this cut to move markets much. Additionally, probably two to three cuts anticipated into next year, but at a slower pace into the new year. Markets are more concerned on, I guess, how the Fed will manage the uptick in inflation over the next couple of months.
And finally, where do you see the opportunities for investors at the moment?
So mid-caps, that's the top 50 outside the top 50. These are sort of have lagged in recent times relative to large and small caps in recent years. This presents an opportunity for those investors who are looking to get back in. I guess they offer a better diversification compared to large caps, greater exposure to growth sectors like technology and healthcare. Mid caps are currently trading at a more attractive valuation relative to large caps, show stronger earnings growth prospects compared to the large caps as well.
That's Robert Tilewski there from Activam.
This SBS On The Money podcast is provided for informational purposes only. The content on this podcast should not be understood as constituting advice or a recommendation. It is not personal advice and does not consider your personal circumstances or objectives. You should contact a licensed professional before making any financial decision.